You've tuned into His Name Ministries podcast.
I want to talk about you. God has called you, and He has a plan for your life. Not just for the people on TV. Not for the televangelist saying, hey, right there, you didn't just turn on here for just a reason. Right now, you need to do this and do that. No, it's not just for them. It's for all of us. Whether if you're in Chino or Chino Hills or Montclair, Ontario, whatever. He has called you. And the enemy knows this, and he'll try everything to get your eyes of what God has called you to do. He will attack your race. It talks about in the Word that it's a race. The plan that God has for you, it's a race, and God has called you. And the enemy will attack it with everything he has. Because when you run your race to what God has called you to do, when you're on fire for Jesus, people around you will start changing. And he doesn't want that. And he's not going to sit back and just say, oh, I'll let them do their thing. No, he does not want that. And he'll fight with everything he has. But I want you to know this morning. God has called you. You are a chosen vessel. You're a chosen vessel. It says in the Word, before the foundation of the world, he chose you. Amen. He chose you. He picked you out. And the God doesn't have any accidents. You're not an accident. Maybe your family said, oh, you were unplanned. You were the pleasant little surprise. But God isn't like that. That pleasant little surprise, I have a work for him. I have a work for her. And there is a purpose for your life. Hallelujah. So I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Amen. God is good. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says this, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So it says that we have a race that is set before us. So if you have a race, guess what? We are called. God has called each and every one of us. And it says that we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. That's exciting. We're not alone. Heaven is watching us. I think I get a little bit better amens than that. Amen. Heaven is watching us. They're cheering you on. And it says, lay aside every weight. As Christians, as believers, you are not designed as a child of God. You are not designed to carry weights. You're not designed to be burdened down all the time. You're not designed like that. Your body can't handle that. It's scientifically proven. Someone that worries all the time and is always thinking about this, their body will literally break down. Your body is not designed that, like that. What is it? A worry could be, depression. Or a weight could be a depression. Or a worry could be a weight. The enemy, he likes to try to weigh down believers, weigh us down. Maybe what other people think about me, that could be a weight in your life. And it says that we are called to lay aside every weight. And we need to know that we are called and we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, and they are cheering us on. Isn't that exciting? Sickness and disease is a weight. The enemy would love to put sickness on you or disease So you can't do what God has called you to do. But every weight has to go. Every weight has to go. Amen? But I want us to look here at verse 2. It says this. So we established here that there's a race set before us, and we got to run with patience. Come on, it's not a sprint. Patience, another word for patience is endurance. The race that the calling God has called us, we got to run with patience, with endurance. It's not a sprint. There's people, you see this all the time, people that get in church, they get saved, and they're so excited. And they're all about the things of God. And then all of a sudden, you don't hear about them anymore. What? They burnt out. They start going after the things of God, and they think things are going to start happening sooner than they are, and they get discouraged, and the enemy puts on some weights on them, and they burned out. We got to run with endurance. We got to have patience. California needs a little bit, a lesson in patience, amen? You know, on the freeways, you don't see patience. Where I'm from, you see some patience. Turns green, and they just sit there. Amen. One time I was in the car with my grandmother, and this car was in front of me. The light turned green, and I sat there. I'm like, what is going on? And I just go, and I gave a little nice honk, not too long. And they started going. And my grandma said, don't you ever do that again. This is my car. You can do that all you want in your car. She said, this is my car. And they know this car, and you can't do that. And I go, well, they were not going. And she goes, I don't care if it went through again to red. The whole cycle over, I'll wait. I learned my lesson, amen? Patience, okay? I didn't have patience there. But we are called as Christians, we need to have patience and have endurance. Jesus had endurance. On the mountain 40 days without food. He's fasting. He's in an intense hunger. And here comes the enemy. Hey, why don't you turn this into bread? What did Jesus do? He had endurance. He had patience. He came back with this. It is written. That's what Jesus did. That's what we are called to do. When the enemy tries to fight you, we say, hey, it is written. You are defeated. It is written that I am far above you. Amen? So verse 2, it says this. So we have a race called to run with patience, and it's set before us. You don't have to try to set your race out yourself. God has a lane designed just for you. You don't have somebody else's lane, even though you might want it. God goes, hey, I have a lane just for you to run. I have something just so special just for you. So verse 2, it says this, looking unto Jesus. I love that. We have a race that is set before us, and this is all we have to do. We just got to look to Jesus. Thank God. Don't look to Facebook or Instagram. You're seeing people's highlight reel, by the way. Instagram, you don't see the real stuff. Amen. I wish my life was like them. I wish I had a vacation like that. You're seeing a highlight reel with a bunch of filters on it. Come on. But we are called to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. This is Jesus' race right here. He endured the cross, despising the shame, so we don't have to have shame anymore. The enemy ever tries to put shame on you or condemnation on you, that is a lie of the devil, because Jesus took it all for us. That's good, amen? Despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So this is Jesus' race right here. He came to be the perfect sacrifice of sin for you and I. Jesus didn't come to be worshipped and adored, which they did. Even after the feeding of the 5,000, they wanted to anoint him king. And he knew it, and he departed into the mountain alone by himself to pray. That was not his purpose. His purpose wasn't to be liked by the religious leaders. You guys know that. He told the religious leaders, your father is Satan. That's pretty bold. He went to the temple and they were selling a bunch of things and Jesus flipped the tables over. He was all consumed about what his father had him to do. He said, I don't say a word unless my father says it. I don't do anything unless my father does it. And I don't care if it causes a commotion. I don't care if you like me. I am so consumed about what my father has for me to do. And that, he lived it for us. He showed us the way, the example. And he has given us the Holy Spirit. And that is the same with us. I am only going to do what my father does. I will say what my father says. Hallelujah. And I don't care if it's comfortable or not. It won't be comfortable. Enemy's going to fight that. It's not going to feel fun. Amen. But we just do what God has called us to do, and we look unto Jesus. There is a power when you look to Jesus, when you have your eyes on him no matter what, and you have to get in the Word of God daily. Amen. And you have to do it. It's not going to just happen. God didn't create us like robots. Come on. We wake up in the morning. I love you, God. I love you. Today's going to be a great day. I am highly favored. I'm highly blessed. And we just go, and he makes it. No, he gives us a will. And it says in the Word in Deuteronomy, choose life. I put before you life and death. Choose life. We have to make the decision, I am going to get in the Word. I am going to do it. And devil, you are a liar. There's a power in that when you put your eyes on Jesus. Things happen. Things change. And we do it by faith. Not by feelings. Not if we want to. This is all by faith. And the thing about faith is you don't see it. Your natural eyes will be telling you things. There's no way this is going to happen. That thing you're believing for, there's no way you're going to get it. But you say, you know what? Okay, devil, I can't see it, but by faith, I believe it. And we put our eyes on Jesus by faith. One day we were in Destiny and I, we were in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and we were eating there outside of a grocery store. And there's a lady out there, and it was during the Christmas time, and she's ringing the bell there, Salvation Army worker. And she had the joy of the Lord all over her. She was happy. You can just tell when people are like, the world would say overly happy. Amen. I have an aunt that's like this. She's overly happy. You see her, and it's been 5 minutes. Brandon! Oh, I've missed you. She has the joy of the Lord. Natural people say that lady is a little strange. Here's this lady. She's happy. Merry Christmas. She's not saying happy holidays. Thank God. Merry Christmas. People are walking by her, just ignoring her. Personally, me, if someone ignores me a couple times, I'm going to say, you know what? I'm not going to talk to any more people. I like it. This is my favorite word right here. My favorite saying. I am not going to waste my breath. I talk to Destiny sometime, and I'm talking, and she doesn't listen. And she asked me, and I go, she goes, oh, I wasn't paying attention. I said, I wasted my breath right now. Don't make me waste my breath, girl. Amen. Write that down, guys. That's a word. Amen. So she's ringing the bell. Merry Christmas. People are ignoring her. And I thought, I want to compliment this lady. As people of God, as you know, sons and daughters of God, it's not just for inside this church, but outside the four walls. You don't have to go talk to people in the King James language. Like, get your heart right with God. Get on your knees, boy. You could just say, hey, bro, how's it going, man? You having a good day? Good, good. He'll lead you what to say. Amen? So she's out there, and I'm ringing, and I told Destiny, I'm going to say something to her. Destiny said, don't. I'm just joking. I'm getting Destiny good this morning. There's a freedom in this house. Hallelujah. So I told her, I said, hey, you are really, you're the best bell ringer I've ever seen. You're awesome. I didn't know how to say it to her. I just said bell ringer. I didn't know Salvation Army worker. I told her, you're the best bell ringer I've ever seen. You're awesome. She says, thank you so much. And she says, I volunteer for this. I just love people. And I was thinking, you love people? Look, these people are not someone to love. Amen? Credit to you. It's cold out here. I wouldn't want to be talking to these people. But she says, you know what? I'm believing God for a miracle. And I'm putting my eyes on a miracle right now. And I was like, okay, Holy Spirit. What is it? I broke my leg and I've had surgeries and it hasn't healed right. And I'm in a lot of pain. And I can't even walk. I'm standing here. But she said, I've been seeing myself walk. That's faith. Her feelings are saying, you're not going to walk again. Her feelings are saying, forget ringing and saying Merry Christmas to people. You have pain. She said, I've been seeing myself walk again. And I said, well, this just came out. Today is your day. I said, oh, I should have took that back. Come on, I'm just being normal with you. Today's your day, lady. I know it's no coincidence I'm here. You tell me you've been like seeing yourself walk and believing God for a miracle. Today's your day. So I prayed for her. I said, start walking. She said, it's a little better. It's a little better. Still hurts. All right, right now, in the name of Jesus. It says, believers, all of us, as believers, in my name, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Not just for preachers and pastors. Believers, you and I, come on. Healing is of the Lord. Don't ever say if it's his will, it follows his name. Amen. In the name of Jesus. And right there, she screams and she starts walking and she says, I can walk again. God's healed me. Isn't that awesome? But what did she do? She put her eyes on Jesus. That was a weight she had in her life, in her race. She had pain in her leg. She couldn't walk. But she had her eyes so fixed on Jesus. And I know I'm going to walk again. In Jesus, in Isaiah 50, it says Jesus set his eyes on his father like a flint. He wasn't moved. He was whipped. He was beaten, and he didn't even say a word. His eyes were so fixed. He said, not my will, God, but your will. And it says in Isaiah, he keeps him in perfect peace. Us, whose mind is stayed on thee. If you remember anything this morning, I want you to remember this. Put my mind on Jesus. Put my eyes on Jesus. And it says in his word, I will be in perfect peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. That word peace is shalom, perfect peace. Amen. It says it. That's the word of God. Isaiah 26:3, perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. So we look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Faith looks to Jesus, amen? By faith, we do this. The woman with the issue of blood, 12 years, she didn't get better, she grew worse, and she lost everything that she had. I think some people in church today, they think that they're the only ones that go through things. Men of God, all in the Bible, they all went through some things. David at Ziklag goes there. Place is burned up. All his men's wives, they're all gone. And they start talking, you know what? We're going to stone David. We're going to kill David. And it says this, that David cried until he had no more power to weep. If he would have kept on crying, that would have been the end of David. But what does David do? He encouraged himself in the Lord. That's putting his eyes on God. He starts talking about, God, you took care of me this time. He encouraged himself up in the Lord. And we have to do this when no one else is around. I have to build up myself and encourage myself when destiny's not around. When I'm all by myself, if I'm in the woods and I feel like I can't get out of here, God, I will encourage myself and I'll build myself up. When no one else is looking, when it's not comfortable, when it's not fun. People in the Bible went through some things. Paul, shipwreck. He tells the guys, hey, be a good cheer. That's not normal. He doesn't just get shipwrecked. He goes to the island of Malta and a viper, you know, strikes him. And he shakes it off. Hallelujah. Devil, you're not going to stop my assignment God has for me. You're not going to stop the plan of God that he has for me. But looking to Jesus, the woman with the issue of blood, 12 years, spent everything that she had. You couldn't say she didn't try. But she says this, you know what? I'm going to go see Jesus. I'm going to go see Jesus. She said this, if I may touch him, I will be made whole. That's a faith statement. If I just touch Jesus, I will be made whole. And the Greek, it says this, when she was going to see Jesus, she kept on saying, if I may touch him, I will be made whole. If I may touch him, I will be made whole. If I may touch him, I will be made whole. And we know what happens. She was healed. Jesus says, who touched me? It wasn't just the touch that did it. His disciples even said that. There's people all around you, Jesus. People are all around you touching you. And you say, literally, who touched me? No, it was a touch of faith. It wasn't a normal touch. It was a touch of faith. I know I'm going to get what Jesus has for me. I am going to get my healing. And that touch of faith is what Jesus felt. And it literally activated, and the power of God came out of Jesus during that healing. He says, I perceive virtue has left me. Power has left me. A touch of faith. That's how we have to be as Christians. Have that touch of faith when we come to church. Every day expect it. Faith expects, amen? Acts chapter 14, Paul's preaching the word of God. He's preaching the word. There's a man sitting there. He's impotent in his feet. He's lame. But as Paul was preaching, Paul's preaching faith, amen? He's preaching, and the man, Paul perceives something from this guy. He says, this guy has faith. It says, Paul perceived that he had faith, and he called that man up and said, stand up. That man's been crippled his whole life. That man got up. He was healed. The man was sitting there. His whole life he's been crippled. He's sitting there, and he's hearing the word of God, and his mind starts changing. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Whatever you need help with in your life, maybe finances or whatever, start hearing, just hearing the word of God about finances. It builds up your faith. This man's faith was being built up. And he says, you know what? I don't have to be crippled anymore. I know what the doctor said, but I believe I am whole. And Paul perceived that and said, this man has faith. Stand up. He didn't go, Paul, you forgot, I'm crippled, I can't stand up. No, he made an effort. He stood up and he was whole. He was saying, this is what he's saying to, Paul was saying to the guy, act on your faith. Act on your faith. You believe it, then do it. Act on your faith. Hallelujah. God is so good all the time. His presence is here this morning. I'm not just talking just to talk, but faith is filling the atmosphere right now. Hallelujah. When Jesus was preaching in his hometown, faith was filling the atmosphere. They marveled at his wisdom and the knowledge that he had. But it literally says they started talking, isn't this just Jesus? He's Mary and Joseph's boy. And it hindered the atmosphere. And it says Jesus could do no mighty work there because of their unbelief. Unbelief is an enemy to faith. Unbelief will limit God. These weights that it's talking about in our race, guys, will limit God. That's why we can't take them. We can't have them. We can't hold them. We have to do it by faith. Give everything to Jesus, and we put our eyes on him. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. I'm almost done. Hallelujah. praise you, Father. He's so good. But the enemy knows this. He knows the power of putting your eyes on Jesus. And he'll try different weights, sickness, disease. He'll try, telling you you're not good enough. But I think the number one thing that he'll try, especially in this age right now that we're living in, this technology and our phones and our smartphones, and you're looking to people, and it's this, it's comparison. Comparison. We're not called to look to other people. We are called. We have a race. We are called. And this is our assignment, to look to Jesus. And we can't look to other people. Amen. We do this by faith. Me, coming out here to California and starting to be a minister of the gospel. And I would preach in my small place there, my trailer, and have the mirror and preaching. I did that by faith. I did it by faith. I knew, God, you called me for this. And I know right now I'm preaching here, and I've been preaching to myself and no one else. But I'm doing it by faith, and I know, God, you called me to do it, and I will put my eyes on you. I'm not going to get distracted what other people will ask me or tell me. I would meet other ministers, and they would say, hey, how's it going? When's your next meeting? Have you been preaching a lot? Oh, I've been preaching every day. Twice a day, three times a day. Really? You're having revival? Oh, mighty revival. California for Jesus. Amen. I did it by faith. There's times, Destiny could tell you, I didn't feel like it. I felt like, is it ever going to break for me? Should I just give up? Amen. But I knew, God, you called me for this. This isn't my idea. This isn't comfortable. No. But I'm going to do it by faith. And I'm going to preach, and I'm going to preach, and I'm going to believe God that he'll open the doors for me. And he has, amen. But it's by faith. By faith, put my eyes on Jesus. People are saying things to me, and I had to just say, hey, put my eyes on Jesus. He's called me for this. And even right now, there's a big step Destiny and I are taking. And I will not tell you it, no. There's a big step, but it takes faith. It's a big step. But I know it's God, and I've been feeling it for a while. I knew it was the Lord, but my mind was kind of playing tricks with me. Am I the only one? Amen. I don't know. You start reasoning. But I knew the Lord was saying, hey, I want you to do this. I want you to do this. I want you to do this. And now we're going to do it. But I'm in that boat. I'm stepping out on the water. Just like when Jesus was on the water and he goes, hey, Jesus, can I come see you? Jesus said, hey, come on, let's go. He walks on the water. And he's looking at Jesus. And Peter, he was walking on the water. Amen. People like to bash Peter, but hey, he walked on the water. None of you are walking on the water. Come on. But he's looking to Jesus. And guess what? He got his eyes off Jesus. He started looking at the storms, the wind. And he started to sink. Jesus says, oh, you a little faith. He's just saying, hey, you put your eyes on me. Stop looking at the circumstances. Stop looking at the waves and the wind. You would have walked right to me. But that's the example that I'm trying to tell you today. Put your eyes on him no matter what. You have a race. You are called. Heaven is cheering your name. That's my boy. That's my girl. They're not up there just playing the harp. I was sharing about this in Washington, and I said, they're not just up there playing the flute. And I was like, I meant to say harp, and I said flute. Amen. But they're cheering us on. They're watching us. This is our assignment, people. Heaven's our home. We are from another country. We are from another planet. This is not our home, thank God. But we are on assignment from God to make people see who we are and what we stand for, and people be forever changed. We are on assignment to impact people. Amen. But we look to Jesus, and the enemy will try everything to get your eyes off of Jesus. And I think the number one thing is comparison, where you're looking to other people instead of looking to Jesus. And that's very dangerous. We're not called to look to other people saying, wow, they have a great race. They're doing great things, and Jesus is saying, hey, you were supposed to be running your race, and you're going to crash. You're going like this. Racers run with their head forward. There's a picture of Michael Phelps in the Olympics. He's swimming, and this guy from, I think he's from Australia, he was all the years he was beating Michael Phelps, and he's talking, I'm going to beat him. I'm going to beat him. So they start going on the freestyle. And there's a picture, if you've seen it, he's looking over at Michael Phelps, and Michael Phelps beats him. But he's looking like this, and Michael Phelps gets the reach on him. That guy was looking more at Michael Phelps than what he was called to do. So many believers are looking to other people. Oh, wow, look what they got. And God's saying, that's great, but I have something so awesome just for you. There's only one of you. God didn't make a bunch of clones, amen? You're an original. You are a masterpiece built by the master. Isn't that awesome? You got to know that. You got to believe that. You got to say that over yourself every day. I don't feel like I'm a masterpiece. It's going, hey, I am a masterpiece. I am beautiful. God loves me. I'm on his mind. Amen? Comparison. There's an example of this in the Word of God, and we're almost done. I want you to turn to 1 Samuel. Hallelujah. You guys good this morning? 1 Samuel chapter 18. I told you I'm on a good one. Amen. 1 Samuel 18. God is so good. His presence is here. Amen. He's here. Faith is filling the atmosphere right now. I'm reading to you everything from the Word of God. Take it. Take it. Take hold of it. This is for me. This is for me. Let your faith rise. Let it build up. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 18. And David went out wheresoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine that the woman came out of the city of Israel. They were singing and dancing to meet King Saul's with tabrets with joy and with instruments of music. People are excited. They came back from the victory over the Philistines. People are excited. People are dancing. There's music involved. This is a victory parade. Like when the Lakers used to win the championships, the big old victory parades, come on. All right, amen. Or when the Dodgers should have won. Hallelujah. I want to go somewhere with that, but I won't. People are excited. People are happy. Verse 7, the woman answered one another. So women, they were talking back then. They still talk today, amen. People, women talk to each other. And this is what they're saying. As they played, they said, Saul has slayed his 1,000 and David his 10,000. So these women are sending out text message. Hey, Saul. He slays the thousands, but David, 10,000. Yeah, David's so cool. He's a young guy. He's so strong. I like how you like just stood up to Goliath and like told him, like, you're not going to talk about our God. Yeah, that's so cool. So the women are talking. And they're saying, you know, Saul, you killed thousands. David, 10,000. In verse 8, Saul was very wroth at the saying displeased, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they ascribed unto David 10,000 and to me, they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? I want us to focus on this. Verse 9. And Saul eyed David from that day forward. Saul got his eyes on the race God had called him to do. It talks about Saul in the Bible. It said that he was good looking. He was tall. It says that he looked like a king. But Saul heard other people talking, and it got his eyes off the race God had called him, and he started looking to David. Here's David's background. Here's David's background. Sheep boy. Taking care of the sheep by himself. In the pasture. worshiping God, having a heart for God. It says God talks about David. He is a man after my own heart. Killing the lion and the bear. Not going around putting on Instagram, yo, look, I killed this lion, I killed a bear. Check out these guns. Just with no weapon here, baby, right here. No, he didn't do all that. He had a heart for God. This is his background. Samuel, the Lord tells Samuel, go anoint the next king out of Jesse's house. So David's own dad counted out David. David's out in the field still. He brings all the brothers. Nope, it's not him. It's not him. It's not him. This is going against tradition. The Jewish tradition is the oldest. David's out in the field, and he goes, do you have one more? I have one more. His name's David. Bring him out from the field. That's who God anointed. Hallelujah. That's his background. He's not trying to be someone, trying to be the king. He's worshiping the king. He's not trying to, how can I make it my own way? What can I do with my natural abilities to be the best? He's saying, you know what? I'm going to worship the king. And like it says in the word, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, everything else shall be added. I'm going to seek God, and I know he's going to make the way for me. That's how we have to be. Number one, seek God, and everything else will fall into place. Everything else will fall into place. I want to read this statement here, and we're done. Amen. We can go to Spunky Steers after this. Amen. All right, here's a statement. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. The Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord, here, this is the Lord, and the Lord hasn't changed his mind. God hasn't changed his mind. He says this, the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance. People look at Instagram, Facebook. Like what Pastor Frank says, put your face in his book. I like that. The people look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. He looks at the heart. Hallelujah. God is so good. I want to challenge this to you today. Put your eyes on Jesus like never before. Read his word. Do his word. And every weight has to go. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for checking out our podcast. For more information on His Name Ministries, check out our website at hisnameministries.com or check us out on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. Have a blessed day.